Well, good afternoon. Good to see you. I hope everybody had a good lunch, fed up. Who got a little extra rest last night? Anybody? I hope so. I know sitting listening is hard work, but I want to thank you for your diligence in doing it. And listening well can be a challenge, but I want to encourage you, particularly this afternoon session, that you set your heart purpose to listen well. I think we'll get the easiest time. Now, I love the other speakers. I love them all. But there's very few people I enjoy listening to more than Dr. Rand Hummel. I get the tough job, however. How do you introduce Rand Hummel? So I'm not going to do all of that and tell you all the details. I think you know Rand is currently director of the Wilds of New England. Before that, he was assistant director at the Wilds of North Carolina, program director for 20 years. Think of the creativity of that program for 20 years. And has just been used of God to shape so many lives. The best thing I can do to introduce you is to try and capture Rand's heart a little bit. Rand and I have interacted in a number of ways. I was youth pastor. We interacted. I came to camp, knew nothing, interacted. Been a pastor, and had Rand come in, do some youth stuff for us at a conference, and then speak in our church. And in that setting, had him over to my home. And the thing that captured my heart so much about Rand was that he honored me most, because when he walked in the door, my kids became the most important thing in my home. He didn't have to work at loving on my children, because that's what's in his heart. And I'll never forget it. The lessons he taught me by loving my kids. And Rand, you said, how do we obey? Quickly, sweetly, and completely. I don't know if my kids remembered that, but I did. And that is Rand's heart. Hebrews 13:17 is an interesting passage of scripture. It talks about obeying those other rule pastors. And it says an interesting phrase that, for me, actually captures the life and ministry of Rand Hummel. And it says this about them: they watch for your souls. And that is what my friend Rand Hummel is known for to me. When I'm with him, he's concerned about my own heart, my own soul. When we talk about young people, he's concerned about their souls. He is somebody that has given his heart and his life to watching out for our souls. And as he comes to teach, that's the passion that he does it with. He wants to give us truth because he's concerned about us and our walk with God. And so you give him a massively warm welcome this afternoon. It's Dr. Rand Hummel.
Okay, sounds good. All right, look around. Look around at everybody around you. Point to the one person that most reminds you of a cartoon character. Go to him. All right, point to the one person that would best star in a scary movie. All right, point to the one person that you know they're going to start a brand new TV show, 21 and counting, with at least 21 kids. All right, point to the best looking, most intelligent person in the room. Look at you, point to yourself. What in the world? All right, here we go. The battle of the mind. You know, the battle of the mind is probably the greatest discipline you guys will ever face in your entire life. Why? Because we are not what we think we are, but we are what we think. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What you're thinking today, you're becoming tomorrow. Your thoughts are basically an index to your character. If I could take your thoughts for like the last 3 weeks, I could write a biography about you. What you think about is what you love. I mentioned that last night. And so we live in a world that, oh, it is tough
tough to struggle with sensual thoughts and selfish thoughts. And this is not just thoughts to deal with immoral things. We are very selfish, proud people, okay? So how do you control this mind, this battle? Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Say that with me. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues. Turn to the person next to you and whisper it to them. Go.
Keep your heart with all diligence.
Keep. It's a military term. It means to watch, to guard, to be on sentry duty, to constantly be guarding and looking around, okay? And as a soldier, you want to constantly watch for the enemy as they're approaching you. Your heart is the real you. It's not what men and your friends think you are. That's your reputation. Your heart is what God knows you to be. Your heart is actually what you do in the dark when nobody is watching. That's the real you. It's made up of your mind. It's made up of your will. It's made up of your emotions. We don't have time to look at all those, so we're going to concentrate just in this concept of the heart. Because you have to remember, again, your heart and your mind. As a man thinketh in his heart. And it's very, very difficult to separate the heart from the mind. The word diligence is another military term, and it literally means to encircle about or to encompass about, okay? It's like building an entire force field around you, okay? If you're like into Star Wars or something or Mandalorian or whatever it is, okay? Didn't you hate it when that big insect came down? Anyway, we're not going there. All right. It's the idea of totally surrounding yourself. And back in this day, back in Solomon's day, you know, when they had warfare and battles, they didn't have unmanned drones or, you know, computer warfare. They were soldiers with a shield and a helmet and a sword. But what they did is they built these castles to protect themselves. So if you want to be a true soldier of your Lord and keep your heart for God. And man, I'm telling you, that's my prayer for you guys. Don't give your heart away to anyone or anything. Just keep loving your God, okay? You're going to mess up. You're going to fall. And then you can remember you got a loving God that's willing to forgive you over and over and over again. But keep your heart for God, okay? So we're going to look at the art of medieval warfare. I've had the privilege, I love castles, okay? And I've had the privilege, all the pictures I've able to take when I've been preaching in Europe or whatever. And as we look at this, we're going to concentrate on this concept of keeping in this way. We'll look at the knights, how you keep committed to pleasing your Lord and King. We're going to look at the enemy, how you keep a proper view of the enemy. We'll study the castle, keep the enemy as far away as possible. And then the weaponry, keep constantly prepared. When it comes to the knights, during the dark ages, the days of knights, most kids never even got to go to school, okay? Only the noblemen's sons. And normally, they would come in, and when they were very, very young, they were called pages, and they would be taught in the castle and in the schools. But around the age of 15, if they made it that far, they became squires, okay? As a squire, they were basically assigned to a knight, and they took care of his horses, his weaponry, they took care of everything he needed, and in exchange, the knights would teach the young squires how to fight with a sword and tilt with a lance and so forth. At the age of somewhere around 21, if this young squire was able to pass all the tests and rigorous exercise, learning, exercising, a lot of study. If he could pass all the tests from 15 to 21, then that special night came when he would enter into the banquet hall and all the lords and the ladies of the land would be there. And he would come and he would kneel before the king. The king would take his sword and touch his shoulders and dub him as a knight. In doing so, this young squire would simply be saying this, I pledge my life to you, my Lord and my King. I will live for you. I will fight for you. I will die for you. I'm telling you, unless you are totally committed to pleasing God, guys, we will never, ever experience consistent and constant victory in the battle of the mind. Proverbs 16:3. Commit your works unto the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. What does that mean? You commit being busy for God. Again, you guys are so busy here at school, and that's wonderful. And when you get to go and work at a camp, which all of you need to work at a camp. I know a really, really good one in New England, okay? And when you go to work at a camp, what do? You're focusing on God and the kids and God and the kids. And like I say, you get to the weekend, you're too tired to sin. And so you just, you know, buy some pizza and get a nap. And you're so busy serving your God, you don't get distracted into sin. It's your free time that's going to kill you. And I hate that you guys have to live in this COVID world, but stuck at home and you get the screens and, you know, after a while, come on. It's easy to be sucked into all that. Let the words of my mouth, everything I say, this is Psalm 19:14, including what you say, whether it's your tongue or your thumbs, okay? Let the words of my mouth, but the next part, and the meditation of my heart, that's our thought life, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Lord, I want you to be pleased with everything I say and everything I think. Isaiah 26:3, thou will keep him in perfect peace. Do you know the end of it? Say it with me. Whose mind is stayed on. In other words, whose mind is consumed. When my son was just a little guy, he was maybe, I don't know, 3-4 years old, 2:30 in the morning, he's shaking me. Daddy, wake up! I said, Josh, go back to bed. Daddy, wake up! Finally, I woke up. He's sitting cross-legged, cross-armed at the end of my bed. He's looking out the window, and it was a full moon that night, a lot of clouds, and it was just a beautiful night. Now, here's like a 4-year-old at 2:30 in the morning. He says, Daddy, what does God look like? Have you ever tried to tell a 4-year-old at 2:30 in the morning what God looks like? Not too easy. And in many ways, I failed, but I decided that I was going to spend the rest of my life trying to show my son and all my friends that come to camp what God really looks like. And our goal in life is to keep our thought life God conscious, to think about God. That's why it's important to have meditations constantly. And I'm going to put a real parenthesis right here. This has nothing, there's no money, there's no acclaim, but I am so burdened about, especially teens, college, whatever, age, being in the Word. We have a thing called, from the Wilds of New England, daily meditations. It's 5-6 minutes. We're in the book of Jonah right now. It's put right to your phone. You can Spotify, all that stuff. And you can read it or you can listen to it. Just go to randhummel.com and it says subscribe, daily meditations. If you just want 5 minutes while you're brushing your teeth, combing your hair, whatever. And the whole concept is just make it easy to think about God all day long, every way you can, okay? So if we're to be consistent in our thought life, number one, we have to be God conscious. But number two, we better keep a constant view of the enemy. Now Dr. Benson did a great, great message today. We do have an enemy, don't we? View evil thoughts as sin. The sin that Jesus died to forgive us for, okay? Romans 12:9, abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Do you abhor sin? Genesis 6:5-6. God looked over the earth and it grieved his heart. And that verse 6 where it says he was grieved. Why was he grieved? Because the thoughts of the intent of their heart was only evil continually. In other words, they had thought lives that was wicked all day, every day. That's how they lived. Psalm 36:4. He devises mischief upon his bed. So I got a question. What do you think about when you go to sleep at night? And again, I am a very approachable guy, and I've had many college students call me, FaceTime, help me, Rand. Don't get sucked into the sexting to your boyfriends and girlfriends while you're laying in bed at night. Don't, okay? As I said last night, it's a shame to even speak of those things which are done in secret and to even be named once among us. So just, you've got to be careful on that. But why is it that when we go to bed at night, lights go out, he devises mischief on bed? Why is it so easy to think about evil? Well, the end of the verse tells us. Because he abhorreth not evil. It's fine. Now, all you got to do is sit in my office with me, with 15-year-old girls whose dads sexually molested them. All you have to do is sit in my office with me when a 14-year-old girl's weeping because her mom's boyfriend raped her and she got pregnant and they forced her out an abortion. You will cry. You will get angry. You will learn to hate sin. And maybe your context of life has been pretty squeaky clean so far. But if you don't hate sin, you'll probably never defeat it in your life. Proverbs 6:16, these six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination to him. And when you hear the word abomination, you should think three words. Hate, hate, hate. This is what God hates. Here's one of the six. Ready? A heart that devises wicked imaginations. I'm not making this up. God hates an evil, wicked thought life. 2 Corinthians 10:5, where you cast down imaginations, the things you think about, your thought life. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, then you bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Okay, here is your mind. Okay, here's some of your minds, but here is your mind. Here's your knowledge of God. Does God hate pornography? Yes or no? Okay, we know that. So, you're online. You're somewhere in front of a screen or maybe in a store. You're tempted. And you look and you say, I can't. But you really, really want to be involved with it. You know this about God in your mind. God hates this. But I don't care. And you exalt that above your knowledge of God. That's what this means. And we're to cast down all imaginations that fight against what we know about our God. So all I'm saying is, if you are consumed with pleasing your God and honoring Him as your Lord and King, you live for Him, fight for Him, and die for Him, and then you acknowledge that evil thoughts are sin, let's get real practical then. Let's go to tassel. Excuse me, I got a tickle in my throat. Keep the enemy as far away as possible. Now, on most castles, you can't see it in this picture. What they would do is they would find a high mountain or a knoll, okay? And then they would clear cut the trees in every direction, so they up to a mile sometimes, so they could see the enemy coming. Then around most of these castles, they would put a what? A moat. What is a moat? It's a big, wide, deep ditch filled with water and things that are incredibly undesirable to human beings. Crocodiles, alligators, electric eels, and English teachers. And they would put them in this thing, okay? And the only way to get across this moat was, honestly, with the drawbridge. And I hope you don't think these guys would ride their horses up to the edge of the moat and reach down, push the garage door open. There's only, actually, you can only open the drawbridge from one place. Where? Inside. Did you know nobody can make you sin? Nobody. The devil, you'll never find in this Bible that the devil can make you sin. Nobody can make you sin. You know why we sin? Because we choose to sin. We double-click on the icon. We pick up the book. We are the ones that choose to be selfish. We make a choice every time. When the drawbridge comes down, there's a series of gates. Some of them interlocked like a lattice work of iron. Big, thick wooden doors. Often they had thick leather on the outside, animal skins. Why? Because if they're under attack, they would douse them with water so the flaming arrows would be extinguished when they hit into it. The castle walls, some of them were wide enough to ride two and three chariots side by side. If you look from a distance, you get to see the little part that goes up and comes out. It's called the battlement. And I've been in some of these castles, and from the outside, it's actually very narrow. But the inside, it's slanted so the archer can look either way, okay? Inside the castle walls, there was a courtyard. It was well lit and well guarded at all times. Inside the courtyard, it was almost like a castle within a castle. And they called it the keep. They kept ammunition, food, water, and so forth. Why? Why did they go to all this trouble to build this castle with all this defense? One reason. To keep the enemy as far away as they possibly could. So for us, don't just stay away from temptation. Or don't just stay away from sin. Excuse me. Stay away from temptation. Avoid stimulants and provisions for the flesh. Job. I've made a covenant with mine eyes. Why should I think about a maid or a young girl? He struggled with his thought life. Psalm 101:3. You know it. Say it out loud together with me. Ready? I will set no before my... Keep going. It shall not. Okay, can I be your friend right now, but be very clear? You just told yourself and told me why we struggle with our thought life so much. Because we don't know the Word. We know about the Word. And there's been preachers who have preached to you for years. I've said no wicked thing before my eyes. There's your command. Do it. Why? I don't know. And the whole verse opens up an incredible motivation of heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. You say, but Rand, I'm not doing it. They're doing it in the movie, in the film, they're doing it. It's not me. Wait. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. I hate the thought of even these individuals choosing to be involved in such wickedness. Now, I don't want to go too far in this, but guys, when you're so conscious and concerned for people dying and going to hell, separated from God, even those people who are forced into or choose to be part of that wicked industry, they're somebody's daughter, maybe somebody's wife. And if they're part of that industry, it's very, very possible they don't know Jesus at all. So you try to seek to get your little thrills from people who are making choices, they'll spend eternity in hell. So even your burden for souls can help you in being pure in your thoughts. The last part of the verse says, it shall not cleave to me. It shall not cling to me. It will never become a habit in my life. Most say pornography is more addictive than much of the heroin that's on the market today. And some of you already understand this. You want to quit and don't know how. No, I shouldn't say it. You know how. It's really tough. 2 Peter 2:14, we'll see in a minute. Proverbs 4:25, let thine eyes look right on, thine eyelids straight before me. Just don't be shifty-eyed. You don't have to look far. You don't have to click too many times before you're in face-to-face with wickedness, okay? That incites thoughts that are just cannot be satisfied in a godly way, okay? So be careful with that. Avoid stimulants and provisions for the flesh. Don't just stay away from sin. Stay away from temptation. A couple years ago, I had a heart attack. They said I'd probably never make it through it, but I did. I'm here. And I can tell you part of the reason, because when you talk about the five food groups, there's a sixth one. It's called McDonald's drive-thru. And the dollar menu, that double cheeseburger, no pickle, no ketchup, no mustard, just mayonnaise, two of those, a biggie fry, and like an iced tea. I mean, that's like every night, okay, when I'm on the road. Because I remember one time my wife said, Rand, will you promise me you will not go to McDonald's on this trip? I said, hon, I mean, it's cheap. I mean, I can eat for $5 and promise. I said, okay, I promise. She didn't know Wendy's had a great double stack too, okay? But honestly, I'm not always good on this, okay? But I do attempt to stay away from that kind of thing. So I can't even drive in the parking lot, okay? Make it hard to sin, easy to do right. Say that with me. Make it hard to sin, easy to do right. Say it again. Make it hard to sin, easy to do right. If you live with that principle, man, it's such a help. So like, I know I'm getting on a big rabbit trail. If you're doing counseling with people who struggle with drugs, there's a little thing that we use called HALT, H-A-L-T. It's an acrostic. If a guy's given to drugs and he is hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, and tempted, he will probably sin. You guys get away from here, get away from school. I can almost say the same. You're hungry, you're angry, you're really lonely, you're tired, you're tempted, you'll probably sin. So what you do when you're walking with the Lord and doing well, you put every boundary, every block, everything you can, so that when you do want to sin, you can't. You just made it a way that it's just not even possible. And that shows that you understand yourself, but you do have a heart for God. What about the weapons? Keep constantly prepared. The weaponry in these days was really, really cool. Princeton had catapults, and they would hurl just huge stones into the castle walls and try to break the mortar and break it down. They had things called trebuchets, which they would sling things way up in the air, and sometimes it would be pitch light lit on fire, or sometimes it would even be diseased animals, and they would hurl them over the wall inside the castle to try to get them that way. There was a thing called a belfry. A belfry actually was probably about as wide as this middle section, with big wheels on either side. But the belfry itself was a series of ramps and ladders, maybe 75 feet high, where you could get 100 to 200 soldiers in it. And on top, it had its own drawbridge that would drop down top of the other castle wall. So they would go up this belfry and go down. But there were these guys that would come in, and it was more of a tactic, I should say. They're called sappers. I should call them tunnelers, okay? They would sneak across the open field at night. They get to the edge of the moat, and what they would do, especially while the place was under siege, okay, they would tunnel down underneath the moat and then right up in the courtyard. Now, sometimes these guys, their engineering was not too cool, and they go down and come across and then go deep enough and they hit the water, and here comes the alligators and the English teachers, and they're done for, okay? But they did have a tactic. Actually, we read about it. I think it's in Samuel, where they would put an entire city or castle under siege. And when they did this, they basically would surround it so nobody could get in, nobody could get out, until the individuals inside literally would starve to death. If you read in your Bible about the siege of Samaria, it's pretty sad. They would purchase the head of a donkey and cook it and eat it. The Bible says you could purchase a fourth part of a cab of dove's dung to eat. But it was really sad when two young moms got together and said, "Hey, we're going to die anyway. So how about today we'll kill and eat my baby, then tomorrow we'll kill and eat your baby." You're going, "Rand, I can't even imagine something like that." I understand that when a person starts to starve to death, they create the most bizarre appetites. And you ever wonder why we are so hungry for, have such a strong appetite for immorality, for acceptance, for freedom, for all these things? And the reason those appetites are so strong is because we literally are starving to death spiritually. And I'm not talking about your motive. Because you come to your services and your mind drifts away and you open your Bible for devotions, but man, I'm in a hurry and I got a class and okay, God, I read my chapter and we hurry through and never give the time for the Word of God to be digested, to renew our minds, to change the way we think. That impacts the putting off and putting on principle. We don't get that far. We treat devotions like Dunkin' Donuts drive-through, something fast, quick, and easy that makes me feel really good. And therefore, we're not ready to battle some of this weaponry. Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be... what? What's the next word? So when you meditate, when I say the word transform, what do you think of? I think of metamorpho. Oh, and no, I don't. I think of Optimus Prime, okay? It's tractor trailer, okay? Be honest. Philippians 4:8 gives you a whole list of things to think about. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are... I think it's interesting because today when you have girls campers that are upset, you go, "Whatever." Back in Paul's day, they said, "Whatsoever," okay? Ephesians 4:23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be not overcome with evil, overcome evil with good. And Romans 12. And then this Psalm 119, okay? This, what I want to share with you is extremely practical. And you're in college, you're busy, so you don't have time to really nail this for now, but you will later in life. And even when you get home in the summer. Say with me, Psalm 119, verse 11. You know it. Thy word have I hid in my... that I might... Did you get the import of that verse? Thy word have I hid, cherished, treasured in my heart, that I might not... What's the next word? Then why do we sin? What I normally do at this point is come down. We don't have time. And I ask you, how many of you believe that verse is true? For you, how many believe it's true? Let me see your hands. Okay. So let me point to a couple of you.
And I want you to stand up and give me one of the verses you've memorized in the past couple of weeks, just for your devotional life that really encouraged you. And everybody gets like really scared, okay? I'm not going to do that because it might be pretty quiet in here. Some of you really struggle with fear. And you can't even remember when you literally went to Scripture to memorize a passage to help you combat that. If you've noticed, there's been a long list of verses here I've quoted to you. You must memorize so that you have them so quickly. So again, as I said last night, between the temptation and the instant gratification, you have time to bring it to mind to obey it, okay? So you're tempted to think evil. You take a verse like 1 Corinthians 10:13. There's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Say it with me if you know it. But God is faithful, who will not suffer any man to be tempted above that which he is able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that he may be able. By the time you're done quoting that one, you forget what you're being tempted about, okay? It's a long one. I'm telling you, this works. So you memorize, then you meditate, and that's what we're going to talk about. I will meditate in my precepts, and then you master it, okay? When the temptation comes, immediately say, Lord, I need your help. Because I'm weak, I fail, I fall more than I stand. I need your help. Please direct me to your precious word. But from your word, I need something to help me right now, today. Okay? I call it a weapons verse. Deal specifically with the problem I'm having. I do have a privilege with Dr. O. We've hunted together some in Pennsylvania, deer hunting. And deer hunting in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is a great state to deer hunt. Anybody here from Pennsylvania? Yeah, yeah. Even the women grow beards up there. It's just amazing. It is. But it's a stupid sport. It really, you could probably hit one with your car quicker than you can shoot one. But anyway, you got to get up at 4 in the morning. You're out there in the tree stand. You can't shoot till 7:15 a.m. You're cold. You're freezing. You can't move. You got to go to the bathroom. And your wife's at home with coffee in front of the fireplace laughing at you. And 7 o'clock, 7:05, 7:15, 7:32 a.m. If you see a deer, you can shoot at 7:42 a.m. You hear a noise. You turn. Here he comes. A 78-point buck. You reach down by your side because that night before you went to Walmart, you bought a brand new super soaker and you pump it 6, 7, 10 times. Super soaker is going to do no damage on a 78-point buck. And neither are you or me in attempting to fight the second most powerful force in the universe. Satan is not afraid of you and me, but he is afraid of God. Because even when Jesus would command the demons, like in the demoniac, don't send it. They'd already met Jesus before when he cast them out of heaven, okay? They have to listen. And so you find that weapons verse, so you literally master it, okay? Meditation should delight us, it should consume us, and should control us. I see you taking notes. Got it? Okay, let's move on. This book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. For then you'll have your way prosperous and have good success. Guys, don't spend your life looking for prosperity and success, okay? Spend your life meditating on Scripture and watch God do that for you. But I love these two words, to do. How do I do the Christian life? How do I do it? How do I pray faithfully? How do I memorize Scripture and witness to my friends? How do I obey the way God wants me? How do I do this? Meditate on the Word of God. It'll totally change your life. I promise you. Because as the Word of God crawls into your heart and your mind, you begin thinking like God wants you to think. And then the issues that used to be so magnificent in front of you and so hard to battle, they're no big deal anymore, okay? I put a verse up here. Now, normally, all these little red lines are not in it, okay? But the way they do the PowerPoint here, it had to be. Would you read this verse out loud together with me? Ready? His own iniquity shall take... You say, amen, that's a great verse. What does it mean? I have no idea, but it's really cool. You ready? Let's take a few minutes and meditate on it. If you look at the his, himself, and then he, and his. Personal pronouns. His own iniquities, he shall hold with his sins. Okay? Again, nobody can make us sin. When we think selfish thoughts, mean thoughts, angry thoughts, fearful thoughts, sensual thoughts, it's mine, okay? I'm the one doing this. The word right before iniquity, three letters, own. What do you mean his own sin? Turn to the person next to you real quick and tell them what that means. Go. Okay, time's up. You don't get much time on these, okay? I got to hurry. His own iniquity. You say, but Rand, you don't understand, because when I was young, I was really offended and I didn't come from a good... His own iniquity. Don't allow yourself to blame your sin on anyone else, okay? We sin because we choose to sin. Just admit it. Don't blame shift. Don't blame it on others. Don't make excuse. His own iniquity and sin, okay? And when you study Scripture, it's fun to study these different words. Trespass, breaking God's commandments. And they all have a little different nuance and meaning. Technically, I'll help you on this one. It just, the one has the idea of empty-headedness, non-thinking. And the other one, defiant, I don't care what you say, I'm going to do what I want to do. Either one can be difficult and can bring disobedience to God in our lives. But what is the subject of this sentence? Which word? Wicked, okay? The wicked. His own iniquity shall take the wicked. When are you wicked? When you allow sins and iniquities, your own sin and iniquity, to control you. But we have these two words up here, shall take. Now remember, this is a military guy writing. So this is a picture of a battle. So give me another word for shall take. Just say it out loud. What do you think? Okay, capture, conquer, very good. So this iniquity, this sin is going to come in and capture this wicked guy. He shall be holden. What do you think that means, he shall be holden? What's another word? What did they do when they captured a prisoner? Where did they put him back in that day? In a dungeon. What's a dungeon like? Say it out loud. Dark. Dank. Dirty. Yeah, they didn't have like bathroom breaks, okay? Yeah. Rats. It's pretty bad. So they, most of them were a deep, deep hole or a ditch that they'd throw them down into, and they could hardly get out of that thing. Maybe they could think they could climb out. Basically, the top often was not much more than the size of a manhole cover, and that's how light would be down into there if that was any light coming in. But they didn't want him to escape because they wanted to use these guys as slaves. They didn't just want to kill him. So this sin, this iniquity captures this wicked guy. He's incarcerated, but he wants to keep them there with cords. How did they keep somebody in the dungeon? What was it called back then? Instead of cords, they were called chains or shackles, okay? So they capture this individual. They throw him into this hole. He wants to break out because of the other ones that are in there and the filth. He knows he'll probably never, ever see his family again. He's chained to this wall and he's thinking, I want to break free. I don't want to be enslaved here. I want to be out, but I can't. Okay, everybody look at me. What sin have you done over and over and over and over and over? To where you almost feel enslaved. You want to break free, but you in some way feel, I can't. You know what we just did for 6 minutes? We meditated. We read this verse 6 minutes ago, didn't even know what it means, hardly. And all you have to do is take a few minutes, okay? The whole concept of meditation is an agricultural term. I grew up on a farm, and cattle eat differently, okay, than people. Because when they get up early in the morning, they eat the grain or the grass, and they put it in the stomach. But the way God made cows is they ruminate, they chew their cud. And what they do, if they eat at 6 in the morning, they get hungry at 10, they just take that food and burp it back up into their mouth. Chew it up again, and swallow it again. About 2 o'clock, I'm hungry again. Just puke it back up in their mouth. Chew it up again, swallow it. Aren't you glad that God made cows like cows and not these guys like cows? Because we could be sitting here right now, one of these guys getting no hungry again, so, ooh, that sushi was good. Bring it back up, okay?
But you chew it over and over and over and over till you get absolutely every single nutrient. So what I'm saying is, you guys, when you go to approach the Word of God, don't look for something fast, quick, and easy to read it and say, okay, I'm good today because a chapter a day will keep the devil away. Don't believe that, okay? Learn, spend time in the Word of God. Having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, a heart they've exercised with covetous practice, curse the children. Now, normally what I would do with this is I put it in groups of four or five, but because of time, I'm going to fly. Think in your heart and mind right now. What does that mean? Just think for yourself. If you're going to meditate on this, what do you think? Okay, we got some immorality going on here, but it involves the eyes. And much of immorality begins with the eye gate. That's why pornography is such a weapon in the hands of this evil that kills us. It does. And a lot of entertainment, okay? They cannot cease from sin. Think about it. Just really quickly, get a thought of this phrase. So your little brother, he's 14, he's struggling with his thought life, he sees some stuff he shouldn't, and all of a sudden he wants to see it again and again. It's like he can't quit. 14-year-old boy came to me and said, Rand, you got to help me. I said, what's up? He said, I was doing a homework assignment with mom on a computer, he's homeschooled, and he said some of that terrible stuff came on the screen. We quick turned the computer off, rebooted it. And then he told me this. He said, Rand, I have never seen that stuff before, and I've never seen it since. But I want to. Come on, let's be honest. This old flesh does. So what happens is you start looking at it. You become attached to it, maybe even addicted. What about this phrase? Think about it. The word beguile is used other places in Scripture, like in Corinthians, where Satan beguiled Eve through his subtlety. It just means to cheat out of. And again, some of your little brothers and sisters are being cheated out of the purity of mind. I hate that. But they're beguiling what? Unstable souls. What is an unstable soul? It's one that falls quickly. Most of the guys that I counsel who are addicted to porn, most of them start at the age of 11. Unstable, okay? It's tough. How about this? Think about it. So I'm going to help you. Think about the word heart for a second. Now think about the word exercise. Think about the word covetous. So do we learn from this? And I know I'm rushing you. This normally, I'll take a verse and spend about 45 minutes studying the words and the nuances and all that. It's a heart issue. You think about what you love. It's a heart issue. The word exercise, gymnazo, how many of you exercise faithfully every day of your life? Let me see your hands. How many of you should exercise faithfully every day of your life? Okay. It's tough, isn't it? But some people are really good at exercising for sin. They faithfully go to it and give it time and energy. Covetous. Think real quickly. Where is the word covet used in another place in Scripture? Help me. Yeah, Ten Commandments. Good. Thou shalt not covet thy... And then it has a whole list. Thy neighbor's ox and ass, that's their truck and their car. Their manservant, maidservant, I don't know, dishwasher, microwave, okay. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Even if she's in a movie or on the web, or in a magazine. I'm telling you, it's sin.
Do you see how clear this is? And I promise you, there will be judgment for those who fall prey to this. Learning to meditate is huge. And again, all the books I write, all the money goes to the camp. I really don't want this to come across as a way that I'm trying to sell a book. But if you really struggle with this thing, then pick up this little booklet. This is done by Bob Jones, or Journey Forth. Meditations to Fight More Impurity. And just take, you know what I did? I took what we did today in a little lengthy way and take one verse, explain the verse, meditate on it. You guys could probably write a much better book, okay, by doing the very same thing. Some of you, lust is not a big deal, but you really struggle with anger and bitterness. Turn away wrath. Same concept. Some of you girls, especially, you're really fearful. You worry a lot. You get discouraged if you're not. And all these things are just small little meditations. Because I know if you learn to meditate on Scripture, you'll then learn to master it. Yeah. Like, where have I hid my heart that I might not sin against God? I will meditate on thy precepts. The end of verse 16, you know what it says? I will not forget thy word. Right in the middle of temptation, between temptation and instant gratification, I will not forget. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Oh, I hate the work of them to turn aside. I don't want it to cleave to me. What's everything to true and honest and pure? Okay, Lord, help me. Help me to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself. Let the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, help me. And he will. Because you are sanctified and cleansed through the precious word of God. Guys, don't give your heart away. Guard it. Keep it with all diligence out of the issues of life. Can I pray for you, Father? Put your hand of blessing and protection around all of us in this room. We don't want to fall prey to any sin that would make us love it more than we love you. Help these students. Tough time in life, I know. But they can be victorious in this area. I know they can. So help them, Father. Help all of us to love your word above all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You guys have a great day. You are dismissed.